Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
The Dollars and Cents Show is part of a larger network of podcasts called the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. And over at the UltimateHomeschoolRadioNetwork.com, boy, you can find a lot of wonderful podcasts by homeschoolers for homeschoolers. Let me just share with you a few of the most recent episodes. I just did some episodes called Business Tips for Writers. These are great tips for writers, bloggers, self-publishers. A lot of homeschoolers are interested in writing, so you might want to check out those podcasts over at the Dollars and Cents Show. But it seems to be a really popular topic in the month of February to talk about moms who work at home or having a home business. Ray Perry interviews somebody on her home business show, and there are a couple of podcasts about how you can balance having a home business and homeschooling over at Homeschooling in Real Life. And then, of course, there's some great topics being February near Valentine's Day. Making Biblical Life Practical is talking about romance once you've got kids. And the Finish Well Radio podcast is talking about homeschool graduates who adjust to college life. See, there's a whole bunch of stuff available for you as a homeschool parent to help encourage you in your homeschooling over at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Go ahead and check out the other podcasts, download them, listen to them on your MP3 player or there on the website. I hope you enjoy them. Well, hi, everybody. This is Carol Topp. I'm the host of the Dollars and Cents Show. Welcome to episode number 36. And in this episode, I am going to be talking to homeschool group leaders about a required report that you need to be filing every year with the IRS. This may or may not be something you know about, but by the end of this podcast, you will know what you need to do, why you need to do it, and make sure you start filing the required forms with the IRS so that you don't suffer some bad consequences for your homeschool organization. Over at homeschoolcpa.com, my website for homeschool leaders of homeschool co-ops or homeschool support groups, I get a lot of questions from homeschool leaders. And today's podcast, I'm going to run much like a Q&A session. It's kind of like opening up my email and letting you get a peek at the kind of questions homeschool leaders ask me. And in particular, I am going to be focusing on the IRS required reporting that every homeschool organization needs to make. With the exception, I'll say it right now and I'll probably repeat myself, if you are under the ministry of a church, you do not have to follow this IRS reporting. Now, under the ministry of a church means more than just using the church as a place to meet. It means that you have a formal agreement, probably in writing, where the church has put on their letterhead that, yes, you are a ministry of this church. Your homeschool group is a ministry of the church, just like maybe their Sunday school class or their women's Bible study. And therefore, you get many advantages of being underneath their ministry. And one of those advantages is you get to use their tax-exempt status. And churches are not required to file this annual report that I'm going to be talking about in the podcast today. But unless you are under the ministry of a church in a formal written agreement, and I encourage it to be written, not just verbal, well, then this is going to apply to you today. So let me start out with a question that I get. I was asked, emailed by a homeschool leader, and here's how it went. This homeschool leader wrote to me and said, you know, I was told, and she was actually told by an accountant, a CPA, like me, that if my homeschool group has less than $25,000 of income, we didn't have to file any paperwork with the IRS. And she's a little bit confused because on my website over at Homeschool CPA, I start talking about this paperwork with the IRS you have to be filing. And she had been told by a reliable source that no, her organization was too small, had less than $25,000 of income, and she wasn't filing anything because she had followed that advice. Well, dear homeschool leader, here's my reply. You're operating on old information. Everything changed in 2006. 2006 is when the IRS introduced what's called the Pension Protection Act of 2006, and in that, the IRS started requiring an annual report from every organization, every tax-exempt organization, small and large, even if you're less than $25,000. That used to be the limit, and that's just no longer true. So you're operating on old information. Now the IRS requires one of the 990 forms, and they come in three forms, 990, 990EZ, and 990N, and they require it from every organization that has tax-exempt status. Okay, let me explain real briefly these forms. The 990N is a small, very short form. It's called the e-postcard. It's filed online in organizations with less than $50,000 of annual income. Gross income means all your income. They can file that quick, short 990N. That's probably going to apply to a lot of homeschool organizations, especially small ones, or homeschool support groups, homeschool co-ops. All of them need to be filing that 990N every year. You can head on over to homeschoolcpa.com, look on the right-hand column on the homepage, and you'll see an FAQ page for the 990N. Start reading that to get more details. The 990EZ form is a bit longer form. It is for organizations that make more than $50,000 in gross receipts a year, but less than $250,000. And then the long form, the full 990 form, is for organizations that are pretty big, more than $250,000 of annual gross receipts. Okay, following quickly on the heels of that question is another one I hear a lot, and this is a complaint from organizations. Here's what the homeschool leader wrote to me and said, "But Carol, we're not a 501c3 organization." Or, "Carol, we have never applied to be a 501c3. Or I even get told, "Carol, our organization does not want to be a 501c3 tax-exempt organization. So why do we have to file anything with the IRS? Basically, we want the IRS to leave us alone. We're leaving them alone. We want them to leave us alone. We don't want to file any forms with them." All right, let me address this issue. First of all, I'm going to say that you really need to seriously consider becoming a tax-exempt organization, and 501c3 status is probably what most homeschool organizations would be. That's the status for organizations who have an educational purpose. I discuss over at Homeschool CPA how maybe homeschool support groups might be better qualified to be 501c7s. They are social clubs, but all tax-exempt organizations with the IRS need to be filing this 990 form every year anyway. I think you really need to seriously consider being tax-exempt, because the alternative, unfortunately, is that your organization needs to be paying taxes. Now, a lot of times groups will say to me, "We just don't want the IRS intervention in our life." And I'll say, "I understand that. I don't want it in my life either." But the truth of the matter is that if you don't apply for or seek out 501c tax-exempt status, then you're going to pay taxes, and that's more government intervention in your life. Not only will you have to be filing tax forms, but you're going to be giving the IRS some of your surplus, which is supposed to be used for your homeschool program. So seriously consider becoming a tax-exempt organization, or read my website. You might already be one automatically. That might apply to you. Definitely start filing these annual forms, this 990N if you're small, 990EZ or 990. Okay, one more question I hear from homeschool leaders is this one. "Carol, I read on your website, or they heard somewhere in one of my podcasts, that you just need to stay under $5,000 a year, and we do, and we're real tiny, and therefore we're off the IRS radar." All right, well, let me address that issue. This $5,000 a year threshold, you may have heard, is the threshold that the IRS says exists before you have to officially apply, meaning fill out a form, to get tax-exempt status as a 501c3, an educational organization. All right, if you're 501c3, your charitable educational organization, brings in less than $5,000 a year, you don't have to file the paperwork to get tax-exempt status. Okay, so you don't have to file it to get tax-exempt status. You can do what the IRS calls self-declare. You can declare yourself a 501c3 because you're so tiny, less than $5,000 a year in annual gross revenue. But, big but here, your organization is still required to be filing an annual IRS information return called the 990. Probably, obviously, because you're very tiny, the 990N. It will take you 5 to 10 minutes every year. That's it. Do it. Okay? So, the $5,000 threshold applies to when you have to become a 501c3 through an official application, and you get an official letter from the IRS. But that does not mean that you get out of filing these annual information returns called the 990N in your case. Hope that's clear. Sorry I'm throwing a lot of letters and numbers and IRS codes at you. What I strongly suggest is that you listen to this again if it helps to clarify things. Obviously, head over to homeschoolcpa.com for more information if you like to read things instead of hear them. And, of course, I do lots of phone consultations with organizations who might be confused about their status, what they're supposed to be doing with the IRS, what form they need to file, how they need to go about applying for tax-exempt status, stuff like that. And I understand this stuff can be very confusing, so I'm going to try really hard to be clear. I'm going to take a little break right now, and we're going to come back with some more questions that leaders have about these required IRS filing forms.
Homeschool leader, do you feel confused or overwhelmed by the job of running your homeschool group? You're not alone. Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA, is here to help. Carol is an accountant, author, and retired homeschool mom who understands you. Her website has helpful information on co-ops, paying workers, and managing the money in a homeschool group. If you need personalized advice, set up a consultation with Carol. She's happy to discuss your particular situation. Visit homeschoolcpa.com today and get the information you need to successfully run your homeschool group.
Hi, this is Carol Topp, and I am looking forward to the start of the 2015 homeschool convention season. I may be visiting your area. I'm going to be starting in March 13th and 14th by talking at the Homeschooler Leaders Conference in Williamsburg, Virginia, put on by HEAV, the Home Educators Association of Virginia, and I'm looking forward to speaking to the leaders there. Then you'll see me in Cincinnati, Ohio, my hometown, April 9th through 11th, 2015. I'm traveling to Tulsa, Oklahoma for the first time to be at your convention in later April, April 24th and 25th. I hope to meet many of you there. And I'll be returning to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania for the Christian Home Educators Association of Pennsylvania Convention. That'll be Mother's Day weekend in early May. Been there before, so I look forward to seeing many of you again there in 2015. And I'll be heading north to Lansing, Michigan later in May, and my first time at the INCH conference there in Michigan, and I look forward to meeting many of you there. Finally, I'm going to head south for the first time. I'm really looking forward to getting into Texas to talk to homeschoolers. I will be at the Texas Homeschool Coalition Conference in the Woodlands, Texas, that's Houston, in late July, July 23rd through 25th in 2015. So a couple conferences around the country. I look forward to speaking to homeschool leaders and homeschoolers on a variety of different topics, including microbusiness for teens, and I hope to meet some of you there. Okay, this is Carol Topp, back talking to you homeschool leaders about required IRS forms that you need to file. I know you don't want to, and I know you don't like it, but hey, the IRS has tried to make it easy. Most small organizations, like I said, will be filing this online form called the 990N. It's really brief, take you 5 or 10 minutes. They don't ask for much information at all. Head on over to homeschoolcpa.com, look at the FAQ page for the 990N, and of course I will put the link to that in the show notes for the Dollars and Cents show for this program. This is episode number 36, Homeschool Groups and the Required IRS Reporting. All right, one more question I get from homeschool leaders, I'm running this as a kind of a Q&A today, is this one. It says, our homeschool co-op or our homeschool group spends everything we make, so there's no surplus, there's nothing to tax. And I've had that. I've had people tell me that. And I'd say, that's fine. But you know what? you still have to file this annual information return with the IRS. And I'm sorry that you have to do that. And you didn't have to. Again, the law changed in 2006. And basically, the 990, like I said, it comes in three formats, the 990, the 990EZ, and probably most of you would be filing the 990N. It's not a tax form. It's what's called an information form. The IRS will not tax you, even if you had a lot of money left over, a surplus at the end of the year. It's an information return. It's a way of the IRS saying, does your organization still exist? Are you still alive? How can we contact you? Meaning they want a current name and address associated with it. So even if you don't make any money, there's still a required IRS form in order to keep your organization basically active with the IRS. I didn't discuss this in the earlier part of the program, but here's what happens if you don't file the 990 form every year. If you fail to file the 990 required information return with the IRS for all tax-exempt organizations, even if you can self-declare your tax-exempt status and never apply, the consequence is you don't file for 3 years in a row, you automatically lose your tax-exempt status. That means you must now apply, even if you didn't have to in the first place. And organizations that don't have to apply in the first place are 501c3 educational organizations with gross income of less than $5,000 a year, meaning really tiny. They can just self-declare, but they got to file the 990 every year in order to maintain that status. Or 501c7, those are social clubs. Those are most of our homeschool support groups. You also can just self-declare that you're tax exempt, but you better be filing that 990N every year in order to maintain the status. You miss it 3 years in a row, the IRS will take away your tax exempt status. You'll have to start paying taxes on any surplus, and you'll have to apply to get your tax exempt status back, even though you didn't have to apply originally. I don't like the law anyway, but that's what it is, and that's what we live with until the IRS changes that. All right, now here's probably the question you've all been wondering about as I've been talking about this form. You're probably panicking a little bit, and I get this question a lot. My homeschool group has never filed a 990 before. We didn't know about it. We didn't know we had to. Oh my gosh, what are we supposed to do now? Are we going to owe back taxes? Okay. Well, my first answer to that, my first reply to you is, okay, calm down. Let's figure this out. Chances are you're probably going to need a telephone consultation with me. And the reason I say that is because every group is unique and there's a whole series of questions I need to understand. I need to understand your timeline. In other words, when did the organization start? When did you get an employer identification number with the IRS? Meaning now you're in the IRS radar, if you will. Have you incorporated or not? And then there's alternatives we can go from there after I get answers to those questions. But let's say you're a relatively new organization, okay? Let's say you just started a year or two ago. You failed to file the 990 because you didn't know about it, but you haven't missed the 3 years yet. Okay, well, go ahead and call the IRS. You're going to have to call them. You're going to have to get into their tax-exempt database. All right, I've got some blog posts and the phone number on the website. I will post it over at dollarsandcentsshow.com. This is episode number 36 about homeschool groups and IRS filings. Look for that. And call early in the morning. I'll even give you some words to say. You know, tell them you're a brand new educational organization, just found out about the 990 filings. You'd like to get added to their database so you can begin filing these annual information returns. Okay. That'll get you in the database. Wait about 6 or 8 weeks, and then you can file these information returns. They are due. I guess I didn't mention that. The 990 is due 4.5 months after the end of your fiscal year. A lot of homeschool groups run on school years. So let's say your school year, your fiscal year ends, say, June 30th. That's pretty popular. So June, July, August, September, October, November 15th. Is when your 990N or 990EZ, or if you're a real big boy, 990 is due to the IRS. You have 4.5 months after the end of your fiscal year. All right, so that's the first thing. If you're a relatively new organization, call the IRS, get in their database, start filing that 990N. The other alternatives might be to consider nonprofit incorporation that forms a new legal entity. You might need to get a new employer identification number, an EIN, because you are a new legal entity. We can talk about the pros and cons of doing that whether your homeschool organization would be a good candidate for nonprofit incorporation in your state. And it's basically, like I said, forming a new legal organization, and then you can start filing your 990Ns after that with the IRS. And you may have to apply for tax-exempt status, too, again, depending upon the size, meaning the money your organization brings in. But again, those are unique to different organizations, so I want to make it the advice you get specific to you, but I want to tell you in general about the possibilities. Some organizations have said, oh, we are basically so messed up that we need to close down the old organization, reorganize, and start anew. And that's a pretty serious step. And in general, the IRS has said, well, don't think you can get out of, you know, back filing returns or lost tax exempt status just by getting a new identity or a new employer identification number going forward. But there have been times when I have encouraged nonprofit organizations who have really not done a good job of setting up their organization properly that they need to have a clean slate, start over new. And sometimes that means new board members, new name, new employer identification number, everything. But we can talk through the pros and cons of that status more on a particular basis. I don't put much information on my website about that because it is unique to your situation. All right, so those are some questions and answers from homeschool leaders about this required IRS form, the 990. Make sure you're filing it. The consequences are pretty dire if you miss 3 years in a row. Like I said, your tax-exempt status is yanked, meaning you have to pay taxes on any surplus you have, and fortunately some homeschool groups have had to do that. You have to reapply for tax-exempt status. I help groups do that, so that they can use their money for their purposes, which is encouraging homeschooling and homeschool education of children. So, hey, I wish you the best in your homeschool group. I'm here to help you understand what these IRS required reports are and make it easy as possible for you to get back to doing what you do best. So, thanks for listening, everybody. I hope this was helpful. And stay tuned. I'm going to have another episode here at the Dollars and Cents Show for homeschool leaders. I'm going to talk about this tax-exempt status being yanked or being revoked and how you can get it back. Unfortunately, there might be a lot of organizations that find themselves needing assistance doing that. So stay tuned for the next episode of Dollars and Cents. Thanks for joining me, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.